and nobody cared. Somebody was a praying for us. And when we didn't know we was even in danger, the Lord of glory was putting a hedge about us and keeping the enemy at bay. We'll find out about all that one day, and it might crank your motor. Amen. He's good to us. Appreciate the singing. It's come time for preaching tonight. I appreciate Brother Leonard Fletcher, the pastor of the Dyson Grove Baptist Church in Mountain City, Tennessee. By the way, he has camp meeting there always the first week in November. And I'd urge you to go if you want to go to a good camp meeting. I appreciate Brother Leonard and his people, but I appreciate him as a man of God. And I want you to hear him gladly tonight as he preaches what God's laid on his heart.
Bless you.
Love you.
Well, it is a joy to be back again tonight, and thank you for being here. I know it's a blessing to Brother Steve and the folks that labor here. I appreciate what Brother Mike Soup did. The need is great in a meeting like this, but I'll tell you, if we don't keep watering holes like this open in these dry, parched days that we live in, it's of utmost importance that we keep meetings like this alive. And I don't know about you, but praise God. I know we're living in a modern world and a modern culture. But thank God there's still some places where you can unplug from the rat race, unplug from this culture that we live in long enough to come around, hear somebody lift up the name of Jesus. It helps us to get around one another. Iron sharpeneth iron is what the book says. And sometimes you say, well, I'm not very sharp. Well, get around some folks and you'll be, some of y'all, as he used to say in the mountain, my daddy, when he was talking about the intelligence of someone, he'd say, he's a sharp feller. That's what they'd say. That's mountain lingo right there. And so if you need an interpreter, we have some available tonight on mountain lingo. But he'd say, that feller's, and then if he'd see somebody wasn't too intelligent, he'd say, that feller's not very sharp. Well, sometimes I don't feel very sharp spiritually, but I can get around God's people. And more when I leave, I feel like I'm a little sharper than when I got there. Amen. I appreciate the Lord. Appreciate Brother Keith Brown rode down with me tonight, preacher from up at Beaver Dam Baptist Church there in Watauga County. And I appreciate him, the company that he gave me tonight. 2 Chronicles chapter number 5. Some of them asked me, last night I preached that message on the process of wine making, about how they make the best wines in the wine cellar. And it's always a little unsettling to me when I preach that to a crowd of Baptists, and they take more notes on that message than any message I preach. So it's a little unsettling. I even have people come up and say, now what was that point? I missed that one point, preacher. And I was preaching on the king's wine. And so anyway, that's a little unsettling. But anyway, 2 Chronicles chapter number 5. Somebody asked me tonight about the message. I told Brother Cameron, I said, I don't even know if I have a message. I don't really know what it is. It may just be a thing. And so if it's just a thing, I'll give you this thing that I've got, and I'll get out of the way and let Brother Winkler bring us a message here in a little while. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. The context that I'm reading, we find the dedication of Solomon's temple. Amen. They have completed the house of God that God never allowed his father David to build. And they're making the preparations now for the entrance into the house of God here. And the Bible said in verse number 1, thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. And Solomon brought in all the things that David his father had dedicated, and the silver and the gold and all the instruments, and put he among the treasures of the house of God. For the sake of time, skip over with me to verse number 11. Of course, they did a lot of things to prepare. The people made sacrifice. They brought the Ark of the Covenant in. All of the things of God that David had dedicated, they brought in. And in verse number 11, and it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified, and did not then wait by course. Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them, of Asaph, of Heman, and Jeduthun, were with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. And it came to pass, even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever," that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Father, we thank you for your word. I pray, God, you'd help us now for just a few minutes as we give this message. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. Thank you for what you're going to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we ask it. Amen and amen. We find the scene. Here they are. They're dedicating the house of God. And the Bible said everybody's in their place. They've assembled everybody together. Everybody's dressed like they need to be dressed. And they're prepared. They've made sacrifice. If you read in this previous verses, they had made sacrifice so much that it couldn't even be numbered, is what the Bible says. And here they are in the preparations for this grand day that they've been waiting for a long time at the house of God. And the Bible said they're assembled and they're gathered there. Some of them are at the east end of the altar, and they've got the trumpets, they've got all the music, and all of a sudden they begin to play. And the next thing you know, the people begin to sing praises unto God. And a funny thing happened. I'm not talking about funny and laughing kind of funny, but a mysterious thing then happened at the house of God. The Bible said that a cloud came down and filled the house of God. I don't know about you, but that's a mysterious thing. There's been a few times I've been in services where it seemed to get a little foggy. There's been times that I've been in services. I remember one in particular many years ago there at the church. We were having a meeting and it broke out. And I tell you what, we were praising God and the choir was singing. People were getting right. And I'll be honest with you, it was getting foggy in the place. And it was one of those meetings. I'll never forget this. Brother Keith's little girl at that time, she's a teenager now, but she was there and people were praising God. And little Sarah's always been special. She has cystic fibrosis, and she's been a special little child in my life as she's grown up. She's prayed for me. And she's standing next to Brother Keith that day, and we were praising God and everything. I'm talking about the glory of God has showed up. And she tugged on his sleeve. And this is what he told me later. He said, what's wrong, Sarah? What is it? She was looking at the choir, watching the choir sing. And this little girl, I'm talking, she's probably 6 years old at that time. She tugged on his sleeve, said, "What is it, Sarah? What is it?" She said, "Don't you see it, Daddy?" And he said, "See it? See what?" She said, "The angel, Daddy. Don't you see the angel?" Are you now? I know some of y'all saying, "Boy, I'll tell you what, that youngin' was having a hallucination." I have no idea what she saw, because apparently I wasn't close enough to God to get to see it myself. Amen. It might be amazing to all of us if we were close enough to Him what we might see when the glory and the power of God comes into His house. Here they are, and all of a sudden the cloud fills the house, the Bible said. And it got so thick that the priests couldn't even minister. God showed up and said, "Get out of the way, boys. I'm here and this is my house. And I'm well pleased with what's taking place in the house of God." I thought about in this story, there was a change in the atmosphere at the house of God.
I don't know about you, but I go across the land, and even in the place I pastor, there's many days that I say, Lord, we sure do need to change the atmosphere around here. There's a lot of days that I look around and there ain't a cloud in sight. Some days you come and it's dry, and some days you come and you're just going through the motions and it don't seem like the cloud will ever come back again. And boy, there's times you say, I'd give anything if God would just fill the house one more time. I'd give anything if God would just help us to experience His presence one more time. You do realize before the cloud came that they had a part in everything that went on. Matter of fact, before the cloud showed up, they had prepared themselves to come to the house of God. I wonder if it wouldn't show up more if we'd come to the house more prepared. Amen. They'd already made plenty of sacrifice before the cloud ever showed up. We're the generation, we can't even spell the word sacrifice, let alone do it. Amen. Oh, they'd already made plenty of sacrifice. They'd already put their hands to the work of God. And now all of a sudden, here they are. They're singing, praising God, said, for His mercy endureth forever. And all of a sudden, here comes the cloud. I got to thinking about changing the atmosphere. Some preachers, when they want to preach a message, they glean from men of God of days gone by. They study old libraries and all that's good, and I've done some of that. But sometimes when I'm needing a good message, I got to go to the hardware store. I got to thinking about this, and I said if there's something about changing the atmosphere, I brought something with me tonight that everybody here is going to be able to identify it. If you can see this, this is a thermometer. Matter of fact, it is now 84 degrees at the Taylorsville Baptist camp meeting. I'm probably the only preacher in the history of the camp meeting that's brought his own thermometer with him to check the temperature of the meeting. And I thought about that thermometer. I said, that's all about the atmosphere. Matter of fact, it will gauge what the atmosphere is, and it will tell you what the atmosphere is in the place you're at. It'll tell you if it's hot. It'll tell you if it's cold. But do you understand this about a thermometer? It can tell you what the atmosphere is, but it can't do a thing to change it. But I brought something else with me tonight. I brought something else with me. Not only do I have a thermometer, but I have a, if you can see this, that's a thermostat. I told you this was just a thing. I said a thermometer can tell you the temperature, but it can't do anything to change it. But a thermostat is much different. Not only can it tell you the temperature, but it has the ability to kick in and to begin to change the atmosphere that it's in. I said, well, I fear today we got far too many thermometers filling the pews and not enough thermostats. I'm talking about some that come and they can tell you how the church is. Well, our church would be better if this was that, and oh, if the choir would do this, or if the Sunday school teacher would do that, and them thermometers can diagnose exactly where you're at. But what God needs in these days is some thermostats that says, hallelujah, it may not be what it needs to be. It may not be all we can be. But by the grace of God, I'm going to do my part to change the atmosphere at the house of God. Amen. I thought about the difference in these. I see, first of all, the connection of the thermostat. He's hooked up. And then I thought about this thermometer. He's just hanging around. That pretty much sums up our crowds. You got one crowd that's hooked up. You got one crowd that is in there, and they're plugged into the power of God. They're plugged into the will of God. And then you got that crowd that's just hanging around. You see, when you get hooked up, you don't just run off somewhere else. But that hanging around crowd, they can hang around a while with you, and then they'll go hang around somewhere else a while, and then they'll go hang around somewhere else a while. Amen. Might as well get to meddling a little bit while we're preaching tonight. I thank God for those people down through the years that God hooked up in the work and said, by the grace of God, through thick and thin, no matter what happens, hallelujah, I'm staying with God. I'm staying with the work. I'm going to do God's will in my life. Hallelujah to His name. There's the connection. He's hooked up. And then there's the contact of the thermostat. You know what he responds to? A touch. I got one of these on the wall in my house. And whenever I need the atmosphere change, I'm the one that owns the house, by the way. All I got to do is walk over and begin to touch this old boy. And the one that owns him goes to touching him. And the next thing you know, things start changing in the atmosphere. Can I say thank God for those saints of God down through the years? Hallelujah. Amen. For all those sits in the pews. And the one that owns them goes to touching them. Hallelujah. And the next thing you know, the atmosphere's different. Next thing you know, the atmosphere's changed. Hallelujah to His name. You can touch this fellow till you're blue in the face, and he'll never do any different than what he's doing right now. We was at the church Sunday, and I was talking about a preacher friend of ours in West Virginia. Some of you have heard about the flooding up there. And I had a preacher friend, Brother Lee Swore, up there at Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. They lost everything, devastated by the floods. And I was sharing a little bit of that with our people. I said, I don't know. I'm going to try to find out more information. I don't know what direction we'll go, but I said, I want to pray about doing something to help them people. And I didn't do anything more than that, just said that. After the service, I had a young man in my church. He's got a little family, just a quiet boy. You don't hear much out of him, just faithful. And he walked up to me and he handed me a note. I thought, what in the world is he handing me a note for? Did I make him mad while I was preaching or something? And I unrolled that note. When I unrolled it, there was a check in it. Now, I'm talking about these are people, I know they're not wealthy people. I know the little family, every dollar comes at a premium to them. And I unrolled that note and it said, Pastor, I just want you to know I love you. And said, I don't know what the Lord will lay on your heart to do for the people up in West Virginia. But he said, I know what the Lord laid on my heart to do. And I unrolled that check and it was a $1,000 check from a little family that probably ain't got $1,000 to spare. And I took that check. I said, Lord, there's people sitting in this building here today that's got a lot more than that family has. But I said, ain't none of them came to me today because some of them's thermometers. They don't get touched too easy. But I thank God for them little people that the touch of God and the hand of God comes on their life and they're motivated. They respond to the touch of the Master. Hallelujah. I promise you this, there's the contact of that. I got to get up. I have just a few notes and I'm about to lose them in my mind. So I got to get up here and look at them real quick. Then I thought about the commitment of this right here. What do you mean by that, preacher? This can be programmed. You know what that means? You put something in it and it responds and obeys what's put in it. Matter of fact, after you program it, it'll go about doing what's been put in it, even when you ain't around.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hey, man, I need to go to Lowe's more often, praise God. I mean, you put in it what you want in it. And then when you just walk away, it goes about doing what the owner has put in it. Isn't that what Christianity is all about? Isn't that what's supposed to be a child of God's all about? You see, we're trying to put stuff into people. When we preach, we're putting the Word of God in them. But the Bible warns us about just being hearers, forgetful hearers. He said, don't be hearers only, but be doers of the Word. Hallelujah. I got news for you. Praise God. This old boy, when you put it in there, you can bank on it. He's going to do it whether you're there or not. Amen. Hey, he don't have preacher religion. He's going to live for the Lord whether the preacher's there or not. He's going to be faithful. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Praise God. Hallelujah to his name. Yeah, commitment of that old boy. You put it in there. See, I preach for preachers all the time that are wearing themselves to death, wearing themselves out, trying to program a bunch of thermometers. Do you realize this old boy? Matter of fact, tonight when I go home, go to bed, go to sleep, he'll still be doing what I put in there. He does his work while others are sleeping. There's a lot of folks that come to the house of God, spirits are there asleep. But thank God every now and then you'll run up on a thermostat in the pews. That while that other crowd's sleeping, yawning, looking at their watch, wondering if they're going to beat the Methodist to the restaurant, that little thermostat sitting back there said, God, would you breathe on us? God, would you help us? God, would you save somebody? God, would you fill our preacher? Hallelujah. I don't know about you, praise God, but I'm thankful. Not only do I see the commitment, I see the conversation of the thermostat. I've been sitting in my living room floor in my recliner. I don't get to do it much, but when I have, I've been sitting there, and all of a sudden I'll hear a clicking noise, and I'll realize that that fella has done went to work. In other words, there was a sound that alerted me that he's doing something. Have you ever heard a thermometer make a noise? No, you won't. That's why we got so many quiet churches. I'm not for wildfire and all that right now. But I thank God for them little thermostats. That whenever the master went to pushing on their buttons, you hear them click in. Preacher, you're talking about that little white-haired granny woman that sat back here last night. I was here 1 year, didn't know who she was, but when that little woman clicked in, when she clicked in, I watched the atmosphere change in this place, and it was all because, hallelujah, some little thermostat said, oh, hallelujah, let's have a camp meeting while we're here. Hallelujah, let's get in the glory of God. Amen. I don't know about you, praise God, but if I got to be something, let me be one that every now and then I can just click in. Every now and then I can just get hooked up, Brother David. I can just every now and then get in his presence and in his glory. Hallelujah to his name. Hallelujah. I've still got a green light. I'm about done. Thank God. There's the conversation. You do realize the lost world watches your life. I thought about this, and this is my last point. I wrote these down. I had them actually on my cell phone. I said, if I get in real trouble, I'll pull it out. At least that's good for something. Amen. I said, the call of the thermostat. You say, I ain't never heard my thermostat call me. If I'm sitting there in the chair and I get cold, all of a sudden I feel myself compelled to go where the thermostat is. This is so shallow and so dumb that it's profound, isn't it? I feel compelled to get close to the thermostat because I'm feeling a little coldness coming on. Can I say to you today, Best way you can get out of your cold state, I told you, iron sharpeneth iron. Get near one of them little thermostats. And I tell you, God will help you with the coldness of your life. Thought about this. It still says it's 84 degrees. This one is not really plugged up. It's in my hand, so I can't tell you exactly what it was. But the fact of the matter is this, and this is a question I'm going to leave you with. When you go back to your church Sunday, which one of these are you going to be? Are you going to be the one that says, I'll tell you one thing right now, they ain't a shouting like it did at camp meeting? Or are you going to be the one that says, that's all right, I'll change that atmosphere. That's all right. You want to sit there like a knot on a log after we've experienced the presence of God? Get out of my way. I'm going to have church. Hallelujah to His name. Just hook me up. Praise God. Go to touching me. Hallelujah. And get out of my way. We're getting ready to change the atmosphere. Father, we thank you for what you've done for us. We thank you for how you've helped us tonight. Lord, I pray you take this little message to the hearts of this people. Lord, I pray challenge us tonight. God, may you fill the house of God with your glory, with your presence, and with your power. God, I pray would you help us. We're a needy people. And Lord, I ask you now to meet the need of the hour in this meeting. And God, we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. I pray you come. Thank you.